Blog Talk Radio.
Actually, you're full of something else. You are a sniveling little suck-up sellout full of suffering suck-a-cash, son! Yeah, I know, that was not easy to say.
It's a sparkle kid.
You people, today is Tuesday, April 10th, 2018, and you are making the list on PW Torch Livecast. I'm your host, Pat McNeil. This is episode 12 of Making the List. Today we will decide on the top 7 moments of WrestleMania weekend. Our telephone number is 515-605-9345. The email address, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Our PW Torch Livecast chat room is open, and you can send Twitter questions into us at RealPatMcNeil, and we would appreciate you doing that. This is the most important podcast in professional wrestling, and we are glad to have you with us again this week. And now let's go ahead and meet today's guests. Hold on a moment. Let's get some introductions. Soundboard Vince McMahon, I think we'll provide those.
It's every man for himself tonight.
Okay, well, I guess not. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a wonderful WrestleMania weekend. Hold on, we need the mood. All right, and let's welcome to the program our favorite rock on tours that we usually visit with after WrestleMania weekend. They have their own show on YouTube, and this guy has his own column as a contributor to the Pro Wrestling Torch. Please welcome Mr. Sean Valentino. And to his right, his good friend Rich Twilling. All right, gentlemen, welcome back.
Thanks
nice
for having
to be
us.
Back.
It's good to be here.
Okay, so now have both of you officially survived and made it out of the city of New Orleans?
I think survival is the right word. Yes, we are no longer in New Orleans, but we had a great time while we were there, as did most people
good.
That were there. It's a fantastic city.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's been a while since I've been there, but yeah. Okay. Now, and you're both back, and do you feel like you're refreshed enough to be able to talk about what happened?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay, so we're doing this is making the list, these top 7 moments of WrestleMania weekend. Are we going to have a hard time narrowing it down to 7?
Both of us attended most of the events over the weekend between the two of us, so we have a lot to talk about today.
Okay, so we're going to alert our local stations down the line. We might edge just over the 1 hour mark for this show, but we're gonna try to fit in everything that you guys experienced, and we'll hear from our callers too. 515-605-9345. I know this is a shock, but of course we have a caller standing by. Let me see if I can bring him up. I'm guessing this will be Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, welcome to Making the List. How you doing, Ryan?
Good. My WrestleMania moment happened on the pre-show, and that would be the sign for Lewis Bonnie that was shown during the Cruiserweight match, because I can't believe that it actually got past security.
You're amazed that you could hold up a sign saying Lois Rules and they'd let it on camera?
I thought the guards would have stepped in before it went to that point.
You know, I think they were trying, from the sounds of it, and maybe you can back me up, Sean and Rich, it sounded like, at least over the past couple of days, they were busy trying to keep the Hulk Hogan signs off of TV and maybe not so much worrying about the Lois Schiavone.
Yeah, I mean, actually, surprisingly, we saw a lot of Hogan. I mean, it seems like WWE is slowly weeding him back in because he was in a lot of the video packages, including the introductory video with the Body Slam of Andre, and also with Andre the Giant documentary. They showed some interviews with him. So I think that's a sign that we're probably going to see more of Hulk Hogan in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, the fact that they have been mentioning him live on TV too, not just in video packages, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him back within the next 6 or so months.
Okay, excellent. All right, so that's okay. So one of yours is Lois Schiavone sign. Okay, anything else jump out at you, Ryan?
I got a question about the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match.
Okay.
Am I the only one that compares that match to the match between Sting and Lex Luger, where everyone thought, you know, Brock Lesnar was going to be like Lex Luger and, you know, leave for a rival company, was to do the job and let the new guy on the phone pool take over like Sting did WCW, but it was like a big swerve and that Lesnar won. Is that a pretty good analogy of that match?
I suppose so, although, you know, not everybody listening will probably remember Sting and Lex Luger from 26 years ago. It does sound that way. Guys, we have a lot of questions about that match, but it looks like in the wrestling tradition, they're going to set up a big rematch.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison to the caller. I had another comparison I think you can go back to is that Lex Luger-Yokozuna match when, although Yokozuna wasn't leaving, it seemed like that match was set up and Lex Luger was about to be coronated as the next big thing in WWF at the time, but it just never happened. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, Roman Reigns has already won a few titles, so this was going to be a setup for disaster if he won this past Sunday. I think Rich can attest to that, too, with the way that crowd was reacting. And we heard some rumors also that there might have been an audible call either the last day or even during the match, although we can't 100% confirm that.
Go on.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that it was predicted, I guess, that Roman was going to win the title even back last year, WrestleMania, all the way to this year with Brock Lesnar. And obviously they were negotiating with him to re-sign, and he re-signed on Monday, or at least it was announced on Monday. And it makes sense, too, going into the Greatest Royal Rumble that they're going to do later this month. And I imagine he's going to drop the title to him there.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. Of course, you know, nothing is guaranteed these days, but yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. What else do you have for us there, Ryan?
I have a question about pretty much about every WrestleMania lately. I just wonder how they get all these different extras like the midgets and even like the little kid that was in the Braun Strowman match. Are these people that they have planned out like 6 months in advance, or is this just something that they get within like the last couple of weeks of WrestleMania, or like what's the process of getting all these?
Okay, well, I think guys, if you don't mind, I will tackle the first part of that question. Obviously, Ryan, they get the midgets from Midgets R Us. Thank you. They prepare for this. They seem to be able to, you know, if you know you're doing one of these a year, guys, you can pretty much take your time, you know, finding the right people to participate in it. Rich?
And also I've seen that they've done casting calls within the cities that they go to, so sometimes they will actually arrange these things the week of, and they'll bring people in and they'll audition them and they'll get the spot. And as we also know in the past, they've also used independent wrestlers. You know, CM Punk was in John Cena's entrance once, and Finn Balor was in Triple H's a few years back. So a little combination of both those things.
And Dan Matha was in Charlotte Flair's entrance this year.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I can talk on that as well. Living in L.A., I know they put up a lot of casting calls when WWE comes out here for Raw. I know a couple of my friends personally had been on Raw One of them I was on Fear Factor with, and the next year I saw her on Raw in a backstage segment with Daniel Bryan. And one of the, I think it was a segment with the Doctor when he was with Kane in the tag team. And I know, I think Will Pruitt from .net was in Rusev's entrance a couple of years back, if I remember correctly. So yeah, mm-hmm. mostly cast.
WrestleMania 31, that one, Sean.
I think they decided maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think they decided a few weeks before the actual show.
Okay, so everybody in New Jersey, just get ready, you know, get your resumes ready, your headshots. You got 12 months.
Did you hear if the show was heavily papered or did people mostly buy their tickets this year for the event?
Yeah, what do you guys know about the secondary ticket market this year?
I mean, I'm kind of upset about it because I wish I waited for the last day to get my tickets, because I think by showtime you could get tickets for about $20 on StubHub. And I know where Rich and I were sitting, there were quite a few empty seats near us. They started to fill in as the show went on, but I have a feeling the people that were filling in, those weren't their actual seats. So I think that it might have, I don't know if they touted a sellout or not, I can't remember, but it definitely, even if it was sold out, there were still quite a few empty seats and there were still tickets on sale till the last minute.
Actually,
so
yeah, they did not mention it as a sellout. They gave the attendance number, but they didn't actually use the term sellout or record attendance breaking crowd or anything like that. They purposely did not use that this year, I noticed.
They gave a big number, but yeah. Numbers are for entertainment purposes only. So. Okay. All right, Ryan. Well, listen, it was great talking to you. Call back again next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks for taking my call and questions.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well, Ryan drops off, and as you can imagine, that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Actually, I do want to take this one email question that we have, and I think that... I think it's germane to what Ryan was asking about. Let's go to Ted from Sacramento, who writes, do you think WWE will have Roman Reigns win the title in Saudi Arabia, because that might just be the one place in the world he might actually be cheered? I mean, that's a possibility, but, you know, the way things have gone this past 3 years, I wouldn't count on Roman Reigns getting cheered in Saudi Arabia.
I think that is their best bet, but you're right, Pat. It's something that there is no guarantees when it comes to Roman Reigns and how the crowd is going to react to him, except for usually they're going to not treat him too well. But I think that is their best bet. And they mentioned on Raw that they are going to defend every male championship is going to be defended at that show. So you kind of need the big title change or something like that on a show of that magnitude. So that's why it would not surprise me at all to see it happen there.
And the rumor is that Reigns and Lesnar will be a steel cage match, which will be interesting, to say the least. Okay, so now the top seven moments of WrestleMania weekend. We put up some nominees on the Twitter, but love to drop a couple in here now before we take our first break. Sean, what do you, if you were picking one of the top seven moments of WrestleMania weekend, we'll rank them all later. What would you say?
I'd say one of my favorites was going to see Bruce Pritchard in Something to Wrestle live in New Orleans at the House of Blues. It's just a rowdy atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. I mean, everybody drinking, including myself. I highly encourage people to check out the live show. I heard you throw in the Midgets R Us comments, so I'm assuming that you're a weekly listener as well. And I thought that was just a lot of fun. It was during the day on a Saturday. You still had a lot of time to recover for the nighttime. And it was the day before WrestleMania, so everybody was still in a great mood. And got to meet a lot of local fans that have been longtime fans. So that was a really, really cool moment. And I think it's the best podcast in wrestling, and it was terrific to see it live. Although the live version is not as good as the actual podcast, because I think it's a little bit too focused on comedy when they're live. I like it better when they tackle a topic seriously and splice in some comedy.
You realize if Jim Valley was here, we would have hung up on you already, okay? But Bruce Pritchard show, no, seriously, Bruce Pritchard show, something, okay, we're going to put that down on the list. Rich, how about you?
I won't repeat that one, although it would be on my list as well. But I'll go ahead and go with the Hall of Fame ceremony. It's something that gives something to everyone, like a little bit different every year, depending on who, you know, maybe one of your favorites or maybe just a story that you haven't heard before. So, and it's always a fun night just seeing everybody in their dress clothes, and you know, we dress up for it as well, and it's just a very fun night.
Okay. Do you feel that this Hall of Fame was, you've been to a few of them. Do you think it was better or worse than the past couple, or where would you rate it on the Hall of Fames you've been to?
Probably more towards the bottom. This definitely was not one of the better ones, but it's still nice to just Jeff Jarrett, for example, going in. That was something I thought would never happen. And it was interesting, though, and I'll mention this later too, but when Goldberg was giving his speech, it's like the entire floor emptied out, and that was kind of weird to see, but it was getting late at night, and so I don't think it was anything meant towards him. It was just,
okay, well, Jeff Jarrett's done. Let's go home. Okay. Yeah. that is a little different. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Yeah. Well, see, it's a little different for me because I actually wasn't there in New Orleans. I'm going to say that for a lot of people, the debut of Ronda Rousey is going to be on there, so I'm going to put that on the list for now, if that's okay.
Can you go over what you have on the list on the site? Because I guess I think that would help give us some context.
Oh, let's see. This is just a draft. It really, you guys have additional information that we don't have, but I put, Nakamura's heel turn.
Right.
Johnny Gargano taps out Tommaso Ciampa. You know, Ricochet debuts at TakeOver. Roderick Strong joins the Undisputed Era. Samoa Joe returns on Raw. Dudley's put guy through table at Hall of Fame, I think that falls under the Hall of Fame category. Daniel Bryan's return match. Undertaker beating Drunk John Cena. Aries versus Phoenix.
So you're
versus
going for more like in-ring stuff then. Okay.
Well, I'm the out-of-ring stuff I really didn't get to see a lot of. To be honest with you, I mean, Wally Mania is on here. I didn't go to that. There's apparently an after-party that you guys attended, which we'll get to later. WrestleMania block party with Ric Flair dancing on stage. There's a lot to choose from.
I'd like to throw in an out-of-the-ring and almost in-the-ring type moment, and it was a face-to-face that we saw at the bar at the Restaurant Hotel at the Hyatt. Between Alicia Fox and Travis Brown, who is Ronda Rousey's husband. We were literally right in the middle of that. And eventually led to Alicia Fox, like, slapping my phone out of my hand, trying to record what was taking place. They're essentially just face-to-face, this really heated confrontation. Alicia Fox ended up getting banned from the building at WrestleMania as a result of it, just because of the embarrassment, because made international headlines, and we were literally right in the middle of it. My friend's the one that recorded it, and it got purchased by the UK Sun, TMZ one.
Okay.
So during WrestleMania, everything's big news. But that was something about 2:30 the Saturday night before WrestleMania that took place. It was a pretty insane scene, given the fact that you have pretty much the new special attractions husband involved, a longtime diva involved. It's just an embarrassment for the company.
Okay. Well,
an honorable mention.
Well, okay. Well, we might talk about that. Why don't we pick that one up again after we return from this? This is Making the List here on PW Torch Livecast. Don't you go anywhere.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre,
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about, like, the press conference and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them, like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, and now page two. Let's see. You guys can stay or go. It's one of those commercial thingies you talk about. As you know, this program is sponsored by Harry's. Harry's, the best razor blades in the business. By selling direct to you over the Internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand. And you get to try that out as a PW Torch listener. Harry's knows switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a trial offer just for you. Claim yours by going to harrys.com/PW Torch. Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S. .com/PW Torch. You get a $13 value trial set with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. The razor with the special weighted ergonomic handle with the rubber grip, which you don't want it slipping out. 5-blade razor with the lubricating strip and the trimmer blade. The rich lathering shave gel. The travel blade cover, which not everybody offers. And you get it. You just have to pay the shipping cost of $3. That is a tremendous deal, especially if you've never tried Harry's before. And, you know, you've seen the PW Torch staff, myself, Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, Greg Parks, and the one thing everybody says is, wow, you're all so clean-shaven, and that's because of Harry's. Harry's.com/PW Torch. Make sure you go there, redeem the offer, and let them know that you heard about it on Making the List. Let them know that you heard about it from PW Torch Livecast. You can even let them know you heard about it from Pat McNeil or even from Sean Radican. It doesn't matter. Just go. Harry's.com/PW Torch. Go now. Operators are standing by. Making the List returns here on PW Torch Livecast number 515-605-9345. Chat room open, Twitter line open, emails are open, and also open for business, our friends Sean Valentino and Rich Twilling, who do a show on YouTube, by the way. Would you like to tell us more about that?
Sure, yeah. We have a show called The Pro Wrestling Top 5. I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Yeah, so we have a show on... Yeah, Rich and I have a show on YouTube called The Pro Wrestling Top 5, and every week we tackle a different wrestling topic. This week's topic was the top 5 WrestleMania performers of all time. We've done the top 5 WrestleMania events, the top 5 SummerSlam, and it's on YouTube, youtube.com/ The Pro Wrestling Top 5, The Pro Wrestling Top 5, numeral 5. And, we also look forward to taking comments from you guys or any suggestions of top 5 topics that you'd like us to wrestle with, so to speak, on the show.
Very nice.
Yeah, like
okay, so go on, John. I'm sorry. So go ahead.
Rich, maybe you might want to follow up on that.
Yeah, I was just saying, we usually keep it to the big topic that's going on at the time, so the big shows, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and those, but we have other ones as well. And like Sean said, any suggestions for future shows that people want to see, we'd love to hear that.
Okay, so how long have you guys been doing the Pro Wrestling Top 5?
We started last WrestleMania. We haven't been as consistent as we'd like to, but we plan on having a show every single week. So it's been going on for about a year now. And Rich, you used to write for ProWrestling.net. So we tried to take our history of covering wrestling,
yeah,
with the Torch, Rich with .net, and also just being fans for about 30 years now. And we'd like to think of it as a fans podcast on YouTube.
Right. Okay, so...
Absolutely.
All right, so when Wade pitched this show, I'm guessing he knew that he was ripping you guys off, and you know, I apologize for that. But it all evens out. Believe me. All right, so let's continue here. Now, I want to, for the people who aren't aware, and there might be some left, what exactly transpired when Alicia Fox met up with Travis Brown? And I'm wondering, was Ronda Rousey there?
No, Ronda wasn't there during that time. It was actually crazy. We were just standing at the bar having a drink. All of a sudden, we could hear Alicia Fox screaming and like basically cussing.
Hello? All right, we lost Sean. I'm sure he'll call back in, though. Rich, can you continue?
Uh-oh. Yeah, we, like you say, we were just sitting there at the bar, and Alicia Fox, and we've seen this in the past, too, and her on- and off-screen character. I mean, she's a loud person at times. And so mm-hmm. just out of the corner of our eye and our ear, we hear, just in close earshot, we hear the two of them, and she's in his face, like putting a finger up mm-hmm. to his face. And then that's uh-oh. When our good friend OJ Entertainment like started taking the film, and she was, you know, this is rude, you're rude. We didn't catch the entire thing, but it escalated pretty quickly because we thought wasn't a whole lot of backstory to it. It just happened pretty quickly, and then she put her hand in the camera, and that was pretty much the end of it. And then there was a little bit more after that, and then everybody, she had a friend there that separated her and took her away, so and he didn't fight back or argue back with her or anything like that. It was pretty, I don't know what he did or what he said, first of all, but it definitely set her off.
Okay, so there was no,
I don't know if Sean said this yet, but
yeah,
Rhonda was not there at the time, so
yeah I'm back. No, I don't think he said anything, and pretty much the whole time he was just trying to calm her down, and a friend of hers was trying to calm her down. But then she started going off on myself as well as my friend who was trying to record the videos. It was a pretty crazy scene. And she essentially just, came up to us and literally slapped the phone right out of my hand. Luckily my phone didn't break, and she started screaming at us, and then she was saying, I don't, you guys are here paying to see me. I don't pay to see you. So she was,
that's right.
She was obviously inebriated. That probably fueled a lot of it.
I know that's shocking.
Between Travis and Alicia.
All right. So, did anywhere in there, did you get any sense of what her complaint was, or not really?
No, it was really, it was just pretty much her just cussing him out. And it didn't really have any type of theme or specific reason.
Okay.
So, yeah, we still don't know. It's a big unknown. But Rhonda definitely wasn't there in the scene. It was pretty much at the end of the night. There weren't too many people there. There's about seven or eight of us at the bar around that time. But, just all chaos
all right.
unfolded.
Okay. Well, thanks for the eyewitness report. All right, we're still on the still trying to come up with the top seven moments of WrestleMania weekend. And you guys did a lot this weekend. I understand via ProWrestling.net you were at the WrestleMania after party. What if anything happened there of interest?
I can start off there. Really, it's just a very high class party. I've been to a few of these. Rich has been to a few of these, and it's just a really high end party. Where wrestlers are all in a good mood because they just finished WrestleMania. They had a busy weekend, all-you-can-eat, buffet, open bar. And most of the big-name wrestlers weren't there. Like, I've never seen Vince McMahon at the party. Triple H wasn't there. Brock wasn't there. But, I did see Roman. Ronda Rousey was there. We spoke to her for a little bit. She seemed exhausted, but she also seemed very emotional that she just had just a show-stealing night, and she really deserved to enjoy it. And she was mainly with her husband. We spoke to both of them for a little while, and even spoke to Travis about the incident from the night before and how it got on the news. He didn't really seem to want to discuss it, but Rhonda just seems like
shocker.
She kind of wanted to just relax with her. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rhonda wanted to relax with her husband and not really, interact much. She wasn't really in a party mood, but you could tell she was emotional from what an amazing performance she'd had.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
cool. Nothing really of note that happens that happened this year, at least. It's great to see them all there, and like you said, they're all a little more relaxed, a little more like this big show is behind them now, and they're moving forward from there, and they're very polite, and as long as you're not horribly bothering them or anything, they will sit and chat with you, which is nice. I've had some good conversations with some of the guys and girls over the years, and It's fun when you treat them with respect, and then they do the same with you, and you really get to talk to them after one of the best, you know, but one of the best nights of their life. So.
Okay, so there was no, but so. Oh yeah, go ahead. I
want to follow up on that. Rich just said the Big Show was behind them. Speaking of the Big Show, that was probably one of the funniest moments of the night. As we're leaving the party, it ended about 3 a.m. I saw the Big Show pretty much almost stumbling out. And he was commenting how he might have just topped Andre the Giant when it comes to drinking. He said he was about 7 bottles in. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I can't even imagine how much it would take to get that guy drunk, but he was definitely pretty wasted. And it was cool to see him compare himself to Andre when it comes to legendary drinking stories. So that was great performance by the Big Show.
So Big Show had his WrestleMania moment. That's good.
That was his WrestleMania moment. I was there to see it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, excellent. Let's see. Okay, so other
moment was also at the end of the night when as the Hall of Fame party was ending, the last song was Backstreet Boys, "I Want It That Way," and everybody in the room was singing along to it. The last thing you would imagine wrestlers in a wrestling scene is a Backstreet Boys song with everybody singing along, but that's what closed the party.
Okay. Tremendous. So there was no one doing karaoke. There was nobody.
No, thankfully.
And there was no Alicia Fox there, and there was nobody sulking in a corner or making a scene throwing stuff. It was just a classy party.
Correct.
Unfortunately, it was too classy, but yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, we've got to ask the hard-hitting questions here. All right, so let's see. What else did you guys do this weekend that we can talk about? You were down there. When did you get down there, first of all?
We both got there on Friday, and we're actually staying at the WrestleCon Hotel, the Sheraton, and that was pretty amazing because you see all of these classic characters all over the hotel. It's literally just, I wouldn't necessarily call it a freak show, but it's an extremely surreal atmosphere because you have about 60, 70 years worth of wrestlers at that hotel staying there. So you see like Larry Zbyszko, Stone Cold Steve Austin staying there, saw Goldberg walking around. I mean, it was amazing. And the entire lobby is just full of people in wrestling shirts as well as wrestlers. So that was amazing.
Yeah, anybody that's
being,
ever gone to Comic-Con,
ever
gone to Comic-Con
and
questioned, and other people from the outside looking in questioning, why do they like this so much? And WrestleCon is kind of our version of it. And like you said, it's a great point. I mean, 50, 60 years of professional wrestling all in one huge ballroom, and you just walk around. And it's kind of the closest thing to a physical Hall of Fame because, you know, WWE doesn't have a Hall of Fame building. But, I mean, this is similar to that. I mean, and they're right there live. In person, and it's very cool to walk around and see that, and to stay in the same hotel with them too. That was great.
Right. So when you go into the bar at the Sheraton during WrestleCon, is it like Star Wars where the Cantina music's playing? Do 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 do. You know, you just like just wander around, and there's
The WrestleMania and the hotel as well as the WrestleCon hotel. It's literally like that Cantina with just these oddball outlaw type figures all gathered together. And it's just a surreal atmosphere. It's amazing. Yeah, you'd expect that music to come up.
Okay, so did anything cool enough to qualify as a WrestleMania moment happen at WrestleCon for you guys?
I know my favorite moment there was, I mean, growing up with the Road Warriors and the Legion of Doom. Mm-hmm. When you take a photo with Road Warrior Animal, he actually puts his the old Road Warrior spikes on you when you take the photo. It was crazy how heavy these things were. Like, these guys were bodybuilder physiques. You needed it to wear these spikes.
Yeah.
They're extremely heavy. And, I thought that was really, really cool, just being able to wear those spikes. And I spoke to...
Hello? All right. Okay, unless you can finish... I'm sure I'll be calling back. Unless you can finish the story, Rich, or maybe you have one of your own.
Real quick, I mean, I was just glad to see him meet Road Warrior Animal and get that photo opportunity. But for me, there wasn't one specific moment, but just being able to sit and talk with some of these guys and people that I haven't seen in a couple of years, and it was cool. And just the overall experience was, I guess, my moment, if you will.
Okay. And, Sean, you can finish your Road Warrior.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, go on. That's cool. All right, so okay, out of WrestleCon, then what did you guys do Friday night?
Well, Rich went
Friday
to the
night
Hall of Fame.
I went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I actually decided to skip the Hall of Fame because I just didn't find the class interesting. I usually go there, but this is one of them.
Right. Okay. All right, this is for you kids, this is the peril of calling into this show on a cell phone. I'm just letting everybody know that now. Sean? Hello. Hello. Okay. All right, so yeah, you had a great time, obviously, at the Hall of Fame, Rich.
I did. I mean, I just enjoy what it represents. And it's even if it's not necessarily one of my favorite stars of all time, a few years back when Randy Savage went in, he was my favorite growing up. And actually kind of went a bridge from him to Shawn Michaels for me. And so that was great. But every year there's always somebody there or some story that you haven't heard before, because we've all heard a lot of these stories and a lot of different versions of them. And I just love the entire pageantry of it all. And just a little side note here, the little kid that went in this year, Jarius Robertson, that kid was awesome. And I mean, he was just so enjoyable to watch and just, little stuff like that, like stuff you wouldn't normally expect, especially at a WWE Hall of Fame show, but that kid stole the show that night. It was fantastic.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, while Sean struggles to get back online, we will... Okay, there he is. Hi, Sean. You there?
Can you hear me?
Okay,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, do you have anything?
I skipped the Hall of Fame.
You're doing great.
I was hanging out at the Wrestler's Hotel on a Friday night, which is... That's just another surreal atmosphere in itself, seeing all these wrestlers drinking, partying. It's amazing that these guys have these huge shows going on, but they're still partying into the late hours of the night. It's pretty amazing what these guys can do and still perform.
Yeah.
And we saw Roman Reigns and a lot of the main event performers were up late on that Friday night.
Well, I mean, they weren't the ones wrestling on Friday night, though. So, I mean, I guess I can see that. I mean, yeah.
True,
okay.
They had Saturday off. Yeah.
All right, we will take a short break. We are gonna finish nailing down this list, the top seven moments of WrestleMania weekend, with our good friends Sean Valentino and Rich Twilling of Pro Wrestling Top 5. Stay tuned.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
And for those of you listening live tonight, April the 10th, immediately following SmackDown, I will be a guest on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, and we'll talk about whatever's going on the final show of WrestleMania weekend.
It's every man for himself tonight.
All right, making the list continues here on PW Torch Livecast, 515-605-9345. I'm Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Pat McNeil. The other guy there is Pro Wrestling Torch contributor Sean Valentino and Pro Wrestling.net's Rich Twilling. Sean and Rich have their own show on YouTube, which I'm sure we'll talk about again in a moment. But we are still going through WrestleMania weekend, trying to pick out the top seven moments of WrestleMania weekend. 515-605-9345, or, of course, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Okay, Sean, while we still have you on the line, what happened Saturday? Let's go through that.
Oh, Saturday night was the night of the show. That was definitely that was definitely some drama there. I know Rich went to NXT. I decided not to go just because I knew how long WrestleMania would be the next day, and there's only so much wrestling I could handle.
Yeah.
And I went to Pritchard's show during the day as well. So Saturday night, we pretty much just went to the Wrestler's Hotel as well and partied, maybe a little bit too hard, drinking until 2-3 in the morning. And it was just a lot of fun. I went to WrestleCon during the day. Saturday, met a lot of the wrestlers, so it was really cool. I mean, I think we almost haven't had an insider experience with being a wrestling fan and almost feeling like we're part of the whole scene, just because you see the same people year after year. There's certain
hardcore fans that just happen, just are there, and they be almost become like our WrestleMania family. So that's what I think that's probably our highlight of going to WrestleMania, seeing all these friends that we usually just see once a year, and it's like a big, it's almost like a big reunion for us fans as well as it is for the wrestlers. So that was pretty much Saturday night, was hanging out with our WrestleMania family.
Okay. Rich, let's see.
No, that was me as well, except for the NXT show. I did that too, but then I did all the heavy partying into the night with my boys. So had a great time with that.
Yeah, I wanted to throw a shout out there to Frankie the Clown. And I think that's just one of these interesting stories that comes out of WrestleMania. Frankie was actually a good friend of ours for years. We've seen him at WrestleMania every year. And just from him being a huge fan, eventually he got in touch with Noelle Foley, which obviously Mick Foley's daughter. And now they've been dating for a good 3-4 years now. It's amazing how sometimes there's a union between the wrestling business and the wrestling fans. And that's probably a perfect example. And you can see Frankie on the Holy Foley show on certain episodes.
Yes.
Dressed in clown gimmick.
Of course.
You know, I really think those kids are going to make it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, that's I was going to say. Okay. Anyway, all right. So, other than Frankie the Clown, other than him, are there any of the other members of your family that we would know, or at least I would know?
Well, there's world's biggest WWE fans. He seems to be at every show. You see him in this jacket, white jacket that literally says "World's Biggest WWE Fan." And there's another guy that calls himself WWE Superman, Mark Goro, and he always shows up in a black Superman costume with a WWE on it. And pretty much all the wrestlers know him. So I think John Cena called him out a couple times from in the ring on promos. So, yeah, it's interesting how these super fans sometimes become part of the show.
Right. Of course.
And then
all
we
right,
have
so,
our
so...
good friends who all of oh, – I'm sorry.
No, go on. You're doing good.
Our good friend Oliver Regis too, and you would know him from the guy that snuck into the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight and went down and sat in the $100,000 seats and got all the ESPN press. Yeah, he's our good friend too.
Good time.
And he's the same guy that filmed the Alicia Fox footage, so he made headlines unintentionally made headlines again for Alicia Fox
it again.
That weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's true. Okay, so Rich, anything?
Also at the bar, so I think that was kind of what fueled the rumor that Rey Mysterio might be Braun Strowman's partner the next day because he was there with all the WWE wrestlers. So I had a feeling he might be the mystery partner, and I know a lot of people did, but obviously it turned out not to be the case. Although maybe someone of a similar height ended up becoming his mystery partner.
Yes, that's quite true. Referee son, who I'm guessing was not drinking at the hotel bar.
Not till after the
exactly.
Show,
I hope not.
Yeah.
He was at the WrestleMania after party though, so we saw him. We saw Shane's kids, and we saw Shane's kids wrestling with AJ Styles, like fake wrestling. Hopefully, anyway,
yeah.
So you might see the future generation of McMahons on the ring again years from now.
Yes, we're all looking forward to that. So, Rich, what anything out of the NXT show that you felt was a top moment of WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I actually have two matches from that show, and the ones that you're probably thinking of. But the North American Championship match that Adam Cole won, he's the first champion. Amazing match. Love that one. And then bookending that with the main event of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. That match was something that you would like to see in a main event at WrestleMania, where you have a year-long or so storyline or longer, and you have a legit babyface and a legit heel and two guys that just hate each other it was fantastic. The match was very well done. Booked in at that show, and overall the show was fantastic, so I had a great time at it.
Well, that WrestleMania main event was special, too.
That's for sure.
Okay. All right, so let's see.
F5s later.
We'll be talking about that later, hopefully.
Okay, so anything interesting happened on Sunday? Let's start with you, Sean.
I mean, we were at the Wrestler's Hotel, so at the Sheraton where the WrestleCon was going on. So WrestleCon was still going on all day Sunday, so it was a packed hotel. And a lot of these, I don't think any of the wrestlers from WrestleCon were at the actual WrestleMania, but
I know I saw Goldberg in there kind of like wrestling with his son. And some of like the main eventers at WrestleCon, they have their own special booths or special rooms. And you get really, really cool photos. If you might have to be spending between $60 to $100, but they really provide you with an experience and one-on-one time with the star, and you got a really good photo. Most of the wrestlers are just sitting at tables, so you don't get as good of a photo. But I thought the coolest one was Brutus the Barber Beefcake had his old barbershop set up at WrestleCon, and you could get get a photo with the barbershop set up, which was really cool.
Okay. Okay, as
yeah,
you get thrown through the window.
Scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to do a scenario where I could super kick Sean Valentino and then throw him through the window, but they said no to that. So.
Well, they charge extra for that, I'm guessing. So.
Yeah.
Getting photo.
Yeah, $60 for a photo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's side note, Steve Austin was part of WrestleCon, and supposedly he watched the entire WrestleMania event, even though he was in New Orleans. He watched it at the Sheraton bar where WrestleCon mm-hmm. took place. Instead of actually going to the show.
Probably enjoyed it more. Okay.
Probably.
I can see that. But you guys were at the show. You weren't sitting next to Austin watching WrestleMania.
I'd probably rather.
No, but that would have been nice, too.
At the hotel.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. That actually would have been pretty cool. All right. So, well, when you guys were at, so you guys went to WrestleMania, and then what happened?
Yeah. I think I'll start up here. I think this is really my number. Do you want to go first, Rich?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think my number one thing coming out of WrestleMania was the entire weekend was this was the year that the length of WrestleMania really killed the show. And I think Vince McMahon really has to reconsider having these overly long shows. He needs to cut down, I'd say, at least 1 or 2 hours off the show. And I didn't even get there for the pre-show. I got there when the actual main pay-per-view section of the show started, but just being in there for 5 hours, pretty much the last 2 hours, the crowd was more or less dead. Even for the AJ Styles Nakamura match, the crowd was very, very lethargic. We were just waiting for things to get going. We felt that match was going to go long because it had a slow build, but it never really got going. But the last two hours, the crowd was pretty much dead, and you really saw it in that main event. I mean, Vince and company, they always say that those you want some type of reaction, and the worst reaction is no reaction. Well, you got no reaction in that main event.
I disagree. There was very definitely a reaction. I mean,
but not to the match. It was more for the beach balls.
Yeah.
And any reaction you saw or any loud applause was fans trying to entertain ourselves because the match, nobody cared. It was the equivalent of everyone just turning around or everyone just leaving.
Okay. Yeah, go on.
Good.
Okay, go on.
No, absolutely, what you're going to say.
Okay, well, now Rich, my hot take on this one is that, again, the smartest guy at WWE is Triple H because, you know, his match went on the end of the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like,
it's
last.
It's difficult to sit there for 6 hours or 7 hours or however. If you do go to the pre-show, then that's usually just, you know, a little bit of fun, and then they get the real show going. And the Triple H match, after that match was over, and we didn't know it at the time, but that pretty much was the end of the show because the rest of the show was just very bad. Tale of two shows kind of a thing. That first half or whenever the Triple H match ended, I was thinking, hey, this is one of the better manias that I've seen in a while, since 31 at least. And after that, you had four squash matches in that second half of the show. If you count the Daniel Bryan match, it's a squash, because it kind of was. But you had the SmackDown Tag Team title match, the Cena versus Taker match, and then the Braun Strowman-Nicholas match. And then a very disappointing Nakamura and Styles match. And then the main event, of course, which, and Sean, I know you remember this, but everybody was chanting, this is awful, this is awful,
this
is awful.
That,
and it was
That actually did come across on television.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. and I did watch back later to see if it did, and it did. And so, they definitely had, like you said, Pat, they had their opinion about that main event, and it just wasn't a very positive one.
No, I'm guessing not.
And even coming out of the main event, you had the shock of Brock Lesnar winning, but I don't think anyone
even coming out of the arena that we were speaking to. Nobody cared. Nobody was talking about, oh, wow, I can't believe Lesnar won. It was pretty much, I'm glad this show's over. People were exhausted. Nobody was even talking about the show going out. They were just happy it was over. Just wanted to leave and probably go back to partying on Bourbon Street because the show was just way too long, and they completely lost the crowd. Again, after that Triple H match, that was definitely the climax. And I remember Rich specifically telling me this looks like it's going to be one of the top five WrestleManias ever. And I think with that second half was definitely in the bottom five of the top. First half still carries it to becoming a decent show, but that second half is just
okay. So what do you think was? So what match do you think was the tipping point in terms of, you know, in terms of taking everybody out of the show?
I kind of thought the whole lead up to the I'm going to jump in first. I think the whole lead up to the John Cena Undertaker match, I thought that was a little bit too weird and too long. I think they could have shaved at least 10 minutes off that and maybe had a little bit better control of the crowd, but that really dragged on a long time. And I think people were happy with that Taker won that in a squash, but I think in the process you lost a lot of the crowd because we weren't sure if that match was going to take place or not. We weren't even really sure what was going on. I think just the confusion of that and how long it took really lost a lot of the crowd. Never really got it back.
Yeah, okay. I think I might be in the minority here, and I would it was too, but I wasn't looking forward to Cena versus Taker at all, even if they would have booked it a month ago or 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the Ronda Rousey match, which was phenomenal, and after that you had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match squash, and then the whole Cena segment with Elias, and then you had the Hall of Fame. So that's a big chunk of time there where not a whole lot was going on, unless you're interested in another Undertaker entrance. And then the Daniel Bryan match, very predictable. And then, like, an inexplicably long Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss match. I was expecting that to be more of a squash, and that would have made some sense. But that was way too competitive. And then the disappointed WWE Championship match, and then another match/segment, and then so that entire second, you know, after Triple H's match, I mean, nothing stood out there that was anything good.
Okay, so let's see. So on Ronda Rousey's debut match, anything else that strikes you as a top moment from the show, actual show itself?
Yes, I have.
I just thought Ronda Rousey.
Ronda's performance.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, we've got that.
Ronda's performance, the entrances from like Triple H and Stephanie, just that might have been my favorite Triple H entrance ever, and he's had so many. But Stephanie coming out with him on the motorcycles, that was awesome. But the match of the night was either that or the Charlotte versus Asuka match, and that was much earlier in the show as well. I thought if you're going to give an MVP to anybody on the show, you could say Ronda or you could say Charlotte, and you'd be right either time. And it was a great match beginning to end, and the surprise ending too. I don't think a lot of people expected Asuka to lose that match, and I'm glad that she did. I like the idea of Charlotte and Ronda down the road more than I do a Charlotte versus Asuka match after her being undefeated for another year.
Right. Okay.
I'm sorry.
And
Ronda
good
versus
to know.
Asuka. Yeah.
I know. Another
thing I really liked about that was the full circle of Charlotte, I think, who made a WrestleMania debut in New Orleans for Triple H's entrance, and her entrance obviously was playing off that previous Triple H entrance, which is possibly my favorite WrestleMania entrance of all time. I thought it was just spectacularly over the top, as only the game can be, but seeing Charlotte play off that and play off her own WrestleMania debut and now become one of the star attractions of the show in her own right with a similar entrance, I thought that was just a really cool moment.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. Okay, we are due for a timeout. We will come back, and we will continue. We still have to pick seven moments, hot moments, but we're going to do that as Making the List returns on PW Torch Livecast.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on Earth. People.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you are making the list here on PW Torch Livecast. I'm your host, Pat McNeil. Sean Valentino and Rich Twilling are here. They do Pro Wrestling Top 5 on YouTube, and they write for Pro Wrestling Torch and ProWrestling.net, respectively, 515-605-9345, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. All right, so we've gotten through the we've made it through the part of the weekend where we've had the WrestleMania show, and then after that was the after party you guys went to, which I believe we both touched on earlier.
Yes.
Okay, so
yeah.
did you guys stick around for Raw?
I did not.
I
stuck around.
No.
I didn't go to Raw, but Rich did go to Raw,
yeah.
So maybe he can talk about that.
Okay.
No,
perfect.
I didn't go to Raw.
Okay, well, that's good too.
I watched it though, but yeah, I watched it from beginning to end, and some of it in the airport, but on the way home. But yeah, I didn't actually go to it this year.
Okay, so nothing from there stands out as a top moment of WrestleMania weekend from Raw.
On Raw, I would not really know. Although I am a big Ember Moon fan, so I like that she made her debut and did a fantastic job in doing so. So that was cool to see. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we both met her the night before at the WrestleMania after party, so that was cool seeing her make her debut. I watched that on TV, but I thought the reaction to Roman Reigns was really interesting, and the follow-up. I just had a hard time that they're still believing that they're still continuing to go through this after just a complete rejection. This wasn't a large chorus of boos or just a backlash. This was just a total lack of reaction and not caring about this character, and hopefully if they do continue to move forward with him becoming champion, they just really need to turn and heel. I'm sure a lot of people echo those sentiments.
We might have been talking about that for the past few years. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there were little inklings in his promo, though, that suggested that he might. So hopefully, I know we've gotten our hopes up in the last few years as well on that very thing. But hopefully they pull that trigger sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that would be,
When he thinks he's trying to rally the fans and be likable, he comes across as even more unlikable. I don't think he realizes that how unlikable he comes across pretty much no matter what he's saying. He's a natural swarmy heel personality.
Maybe not the most self-aware guy. Plus, he's not always given great material, so to say the least. So, I understand that. Very fair. Okay, so did you see any of the other shows, the Ring of Honor, the Progress, the Impact, Lucha, any of that?
I didn't know. I mean, that was pretty much wrestling things from beginning to
all
end.
You can't really
do everything.
No, you can't. I'm just trying to get a baseline here. Okay, so top seven moments of WrestleMania weekend. Let's get started. Okay, do you want me to go through what we have so far?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Well, Ember Moon on Raw, I just scratched in on there on the top there. Bruce Pritchard, something to the show at the House of Blues, Bruce Pritchard Show with Conrad Thompson. Hall of Fame ceremony. Let's see. Ronda Rousey debuts. Alicia Fox and Travis Brown at the Hyatt. The after party. Sean meeting Road Warrior Animal. Adam Cole winning the North American title, Johnny Gargano tapping out Tommaso Ciampa, Rich Twilling getting put to photo at the barbershop with Brutus Beefcake, Triple H and Stephanie's entrance, and Charlotte versus Asuka. Is that fair?
No, I'd say that whole mixed tag match, it would definitely have to be in the top five or top, maybe even the top one. That match was just amazing. The reaction to it was just spectacular. It went about as well as anyone could have imagined. It definitely stole the show, and I think it also shows that once again that you need those larger than life characters to really have that WrestleMania moment. This is an era with so many great workers, but it seems like every year you have these older characters coming back and non-wrestlers coming in and becoming the biggest thing on the show. Last year was Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg stealing the show. The year before, Shane McMahon and and Undertaker, Triple H coming back to the main event. It's always these characters from previous eras that are the focal point of the show. And that never, I don't think that ever happened in previous eras. Like the Attitude Era, you didn't see Hulk Hogan coming in. You didn't see Randy Savage coming in during the New Generation
the,
era.
The Iron Sheik didn't show up to fight Steve Austin. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. But in this last 5-10 years, it's always been these older stars that have this larger-than-life persona coming in to steal the show.
And sometimes it works, and sometimes you get Undertaker versus John Cena.
Exactly. That's true.
That's true. And let me like add on to what he was saying about Ronda and her, the entire thing. But going into the show, I would say that the hype for the match was a little bit lower than I would have thought it would have been. Just, or not really the hype, but just the expectations, because Ronda was a little lackluster in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania. And then she completely just exceeded every expectation that I had, even when they were higher. And she did everything that she could possibly do and then some. And I think everyone was impressed with her performance. She was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, the athleticism, I mean, I saw maybe one throw where it looked like maybe she threw Stephanie too far, but that was about it, you know? I mean, everything else was just bang, bang, bang.
And that's a difficult match to book, because you can't book it. You can't have a situation where you have Stephanie and Ronda in the ring at the same time, where it's believable that Stephanie is going to be able to keep up with her. And you can't go too much with Triple H and Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle is not Kurt Angle from 10, 15 years ago anymore.
No.
And so to book that, and in the way that they did it with all the distractions and the work outside the ring and everything like that, and then you had the man versus woman stuff too, and they did that very well. So the whole thing was booked fantastically. It was really well done.
Okay. Very good. Let's see. So we're going to try to find a number. Is there a number? Okay, let's put Ronda at number. Let's put the mix tag at number one for now. Is there anything out there, anything that you see that's worthy of a number two?
I'd say the reaction to the main event, or the lack of reaction to the main event, the crowd just trying to distract ourselves. I've been to, this is my 16th WrestleMania that I've been to live. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like that, where there's just a complete lack of interest in the main event match.
Yeah.
And again, hopefully it sent a message. If that's not going to send a message to Vince McMahon, I can't even imagine what could.
So if they're going to do a seven-hour WrestleMania, they got to put Jinder Mahal on last, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe we've done this entire show and we haven't mentioned him yet. No, just kidding.
Really? Okay. No. So, all right. So, Rich, what do you think? Did this is awful? Does that go at number two?
I had,
or lower?
My number two, I had Charlotte's match, her entrance, her match, her retaining her title. But, yes, the reaction to the main event goes right up there as well. So either way, you want to go with that.
Okay. Let's see. All right. Well, we'll be nice. We'll put Charlotte up and Asuka up second, and then This Is Awful can go at number three. So we just need a few more here. Let's see. Number four. All right. So there we go. This is okay. So number four. What do you think, Rich?
I'm going to go ahead and throw out there, and I'm going to cheat a little bit, but I'm going to throw the after party, the time that we spent on Bourbon Street. We went to a lot of places there. Elias actually had a live performance at a place down on Bourbon Street, and then the Wrestlers Hotel, and seeing all the guys there. So I'm kind of throwing all three into one, because it's the live WrestleMania experience that we were able to have, and we have it every year, and this year it was just as good as it's ever been.
Okay, now, Sean, you guys didn't mention Elias live on Bourbon Street. Do you want to fill us in?
I actually wasn't there for that, but I heard that was going on. I know Kevin Nash every year, this is the second time he's had a private party on Bourbon Street, where he's got a lot of his wrestler friends there. I skipped that as well, because we had other stuff going on. It was more fun just going to the wrestler's hotel where they were staying anyway. But for those of the people that, the fans that didn't know where the wrestlers were staying, that was probably a big deal for them to party with Kevin Nash and his friends on Bourbon Street.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And real quick, the Elias thing, it was an unadvertised performance. As far as I know, I don't think it was. It was just that a small kind of cigarette-filled kind of club, you know, one of those kind of clubs. And I saw Noelle there. She was there as well, and a few other people. And so it was cool. It was a surprise. And he killed it like he always does. So, you know, that was fun to see.
All right, let's put After Party, et cetera, at number four. That sounds good. All right, so only a few more left to go. Sean, what are you thinking?
I'd probably put that Alicia Fox incident there just because I was there in the middle of it, her almost breaking my phone, just going from a little fight at a bar to being part of international headlines. And getting literally got Alicia Fox banned from the building at WrestleMania. She wasn't allowed in the building. She wasn't allowed in the after party. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. You just have to control your behavior, especially during WrestleMania weekend when you're involved with the main event star's husband. Yeah, you have to keep things cool.
Yeah, that's a good, you screw up WrestleMania weekend in front of everybody, that's a good way to get yourself fired. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's happened before.
Exactly. I remember seeing that with, I think, Rhino at WrestleMania 21, one of the first WrestleManias I went to. Destroyed this. I don't know if he speared a potted plant or what, but it was this huge crack, huge.
Well, he tells this version of that story differently, but apparently he was in the middle of a fight with his wife in the lobby, and a plant got destroyed. I'd have to go back and pull the tape.
Yeah, the usual.
you know how that happens, as one does. Yeah. Okay.
But, I was there for that too, and that was at the Sheraton in Los Angeles at Universal City. So yeah, you have to control yourself at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, so let's see, two spots left. Sean. Excuse me.
I have to put the. Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Number six.
Okay, I'll go ahead and just say NXT. I mentioned both those matches from before, but I'm not going to take up two spots for that. So. The NXT TakeOver show on Saturday, and just great show from top to bottom, so it should be pretty solid on the list here.
Okay, that's perfect. All right, and you, Sean, we do have a spot left open for you.
Yeah, I think I'd finish it off with going to see Bruce Pritchard live, and just a guy that was pretty much off the radar, and most wrestling fans didn't even know about, and we knew Brother Love if you're a long-term fan, but just the rise of the podcast movement, which really started with The Torch. And I remember listening to Bruce Mitchell and Wade in the very early years of The Torch, and now it's pretty much one of the biggest things in wrestling. And it actually, that particular podcast was actually featured at the Hall of Fame because it got introduced as a new show on the WWE Network. And it just shows.
I may have heard something about that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think Rich was there. Wasn't there a huge ovation when that show was plugged at the Hall of Fame, and then even at WrestleMania, they introduced the show that it's going to be part of the network. So it's pretty amazing what started out as a little podcast just became this huge explosive movement. It was a rock concert type atmosphere being there live. And now it's going to be on the WWE Network, and Conrad and Bruce both assured fans that the podcast won't be changed for the network. They're going to do what they do. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see how that goes. It might be a little different, just being on video. That's a possibility.
I think they're going to do similar to what Steve Austin does, where they're going to do their weekly show, but they're going to have maybe special episodes on the network, kind of how Austin does. So I don't think they're going to replace their weekly podcast. They're going to keep doing that, but they'll also have special episodes. And they made it clear it was WWE that contacted them to be on the network, so that show has definitely taken off.
Absolutely, you're looking for stuff to draw subscriptions. That's what it's all about. Okay,
yeah.
So you guys already making plans for next year? WrestleMania, New Jersey,
New York. Absolutely, but I think I'd like to say I think New Orleans is the best city for WrestleMania because everything's close to each other. You can walk everywhere, so. It makes it even more surreal.
Okay.
New York
is
everything spread out because the real events aren't actually in the city. They're in New Jersey, and New York itself is such a sprawling city. But New Orleans, everything is kind of within a few blocks away from each other, so it just adds to the atmosphere where literally every person you see is a wrestling fan. It's just mind-boggling, and everyone on Bourbon Street is wearing wrestling T-shirts. So there's really no other city that can recreate that atmosphere. I wouldn't mind if it was at New Orleans every year. I'd be fine with it because it's probably the best WrestleMania host city, in my opinion.
Okay, I can understand that. Rich, what do you think about
WrestleMania?
What do you think about New Orleans versus other cities and other good places to have a WrestleMania?
Well, the point that he made about everything being so close, not just the atmosphere, but just the fact that it's easier to get everywhere. So you can park your car once for the week and kind of just walk around everywhere and take transportation if you need it, but you don't really need to. And that's and it's also my favorite WrestleMania city, but Orlando's good. We had a great time in Orlando. Even when they did it in the Bay Area at WrestleMania 31, that was surprisingly good. I didn't think that was going to be as good as it was, but that was great. New York was great, but, you know, it comes with its problems. But, yeah, we had a great time. We're going to have a great time next year. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Mania in New Orleans again, maybe WrestleMania 40, if they did 30 there. I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all.
Okay. That sounds good. I'd love to know when they're doing WrestleMania in Las Vegas. I don't know when that's happening, though. All right, so Sean, tell everybody more about
stadium there, so they might. Yeah,
yeah, they should. Sean, tell us about the show that you guys do and what's coming up on the next episode.
So again, our show is called the Pro Wrestling Top 5, youtube.com/theprowrestlingtop5, and I think our next episode is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to be running down the top 5 worst WrestleManias of all time. So you get to relive such classics such as Giant Gonzalez or other luminaries. I'm not sure if this one will make the list or not. I think that first half might have saved it from making the top 5, but that's going to be our next episode. And also, I think you can check out all of my updates on the Pro Wrestling Torch. I'm going to have my live review of the show up today or tomorrow, and also have my live review of the Pritchard podcast. And I've had other news and notes throughout the weekend. You can check it all out. My recent article, Top 10 post Shawn Michaels WrestleMania matches, that was up last week. So yeah, keep me obviously everyone subscribe to the Torch, check out my articles, and also definitely check out the list and all the other great shows on the Torch.
Yeah. And unlike some people, I apologize for stealing the gimmick for your show. I had no idea. but thanks, guys. No, really, it's great having you on. And we love doing this every year after WrestleMania, and we're going to probably do it again next year. And thanks to all of you who are tuning in. Listen to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast tonight after SmackDown. I'm sure Wade and I will have some stuff to talk about. PWT Talks NXT, that's a great show that comes up, your NXT postgame show coming up on the live cast tomorrow, and we'll be back next week with another fun-filled episode. And say, kids, if you want to know more about subscribing here at pwtorch.com and becoming a VIP member, well, our friendly announcer is going to take care of that for you. So have a great week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
Oh, no, it's the cops.
Everyone, be cool.
Shut up and take my money.
Seacrest, out.